عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We begin this majlis with the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send salutations on our beloved Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He puts barakah in this gathering, in this majlis, and make this a source of redemption and source of forgiveness for each and every one of us. Shall I try to remain focused on the dhikr that will be done and remain focused on your heart? Make sure the heart is able to concentrate, is able to bask in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to disconnect, retreat yourself from worldly thoughts, inshallah ta'ala, and be able to focus on the dhikr and tazkir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، مالك يوم الدين. الحمد لله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك، فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. ألم نشرح لك صدرك. لم نشرح لكم. لم نشرح. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. قل هو الله أحد. قل هو الله. قل هو الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل. اللهم صل. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم يا قاضي الحاجات، يا قاضي الحاجات، يا قاضي الحاجات، يا قاضي الحاجات، اللهم يا كافي المهمات، يا كافي المهمات، يا كافي المهمات، يا كافي المهمات، اللهم يا دافع البليات، يا دافع البليات، يا دافع البليات، يا دافع. اللهم يا شافي الأمراض، يا شافي الأمراض، يا شافي الأمراض، اللهم يا رافع الدرجات، يا رافع الدرجات، يا رافع الدرجات، اللهم يا مجيب الدعوات، يا مجيب الدعوات، يا مجيب الدعوات، يا مجيب. اللهم يا مسبب الأسباب، يا مسبب الأسباب، يا مسبب الأسباب، يا مسبب الأسباب، اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين. Allah Kareem, whatever was read, Allah, we ask that you send the reward of this as a gift from us to all the Anbiya Karam and Mursaleen alayhi salatu wa salam, especially our beloved Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah, through His wasila, send the reward of this as a gift from us to all the Sahaba Karam, Rizwanullahi ajma'een, to all the Siddiqeen, all the Shuhada, all the Salihin, all the Ulama wa Mashaykh of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Allah, send the reward of this as a gift from us to the Arwah of all the Mu'mineen, Mu'minat, Muslimin, Muslimat, especially the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي. يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك. يا خفي اللطف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا باقي أنت الباقي. يا باقي أنت. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة. لا حول. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك. لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين. والله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ولي المؤمنين. والله والله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله نور السماوات والأرض. الله نور السماوات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A few weeks ago, we started speaking about the concept of قرب الله سبحانه وتعالى. That as a mu'min, as a Muslim, somebody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have adopted the worldview that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us, who have decided, made the choice that they want to live a certain way of life. The question becomes, how do we become somebody who is pleasing to Allah? How do we become somebody who has that qurb, that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we looked at that this qurb is something that was even wanted from a human perspective. That famous example of the magicians of Fir'aun, who when asked what will they get in return if they challenge Musa alayhi salam, they said that I will include you amongst my muqarrabin, people who are near me. So this is a natural sort of desire of a person, that those, the person or entity that you love, that you want to, you know, emulate, or you want to, or you look up to, you know, you want to be close to that. So we looked at one of the ways that a person does become a muqarrab is to make sure that there are certain things that are part and parcel of who we are. So we started looking at the whole concept of having such people in our life who are a source of inspiration for us, who are a source of motivation for us. Because sometimes, just by ourselves, it is difficult. It is difficult to be motivated to do ibadah, motivated to do more than that, than this is necessary. Even, you know, Hafiz Saab today, the ayah that he mentioned, that he read during Maghrib, was about the nature of nafs. The nature of nafs is that it inclines towards nafsi amara bisu, towards su, towards desires, right? Towards something, towards evil, towards things that are pleasurable to it. And naturally, when it becomes used to it, becomes addicted to it, it becomes very difficult to wean off of that addiction. And slowly and steadily, our self, our existence, it submits to the nafs rather than submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having people of inspiration, having people of, you know, that will motivate us to become better. And, you know, we have to look at sifat. If I want more taqwa, then look for people of taqwa. If I want more haya, look for people with haya. If I want more dhikr, look for people with dhikr. Or in general, you know, the terminology that we use is like Allah wala, somebody who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is always good to have somebody like that in our lives. And I reminded us that, you know, what I heard firsthand from Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib rahmatullah ta'ala alayh, about how he said that the bare minimum that everybody should have is to, you know, for example, go out in jamaat, tablighi jamaat, because you are with people of iman. So then it in itself is a good source of support. We need those support structures. A higher level is to have scholars in our life that people can have an islahi ta'alluq with, that you can reach out to, that they can give you mashwara, they can tell you about halal, haram, and things like that. And an even higher one that is a better sort of translation of kunu ma'a sadiqin is having people that you have an, you know, like a qalbi ruhani ta'alluq, that you kind of undertake this path of purification and rectification of your own nafs and of your own qalb with them. Last time we spoke a little bit about, you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us such opportunities, whether it is people, whether it is makan or zaman, right? Whether it is places or whether it is time, right? So it's people, places, time. And, you know, within people, you can say things as well, right? So place, time, and matter, if you want to call it that. When such things happen, that there should be a sanctity, sanctity associated with nisbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we looked at the example that if you have the Qur'an, the Mus'haf in front of you, you're not going to treat it as any regular book, as you would do, let's say, like a fiction, a storybook. Or if you are in Baytullah, let's say you go to Haram, Or if you are in Mawaji Sharif in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're not going to you're going to be extra vigilant in those places, right? Because there is a sanctity, there is a nisbat, so there's extra adab, there's extra muhabbat, there's an extra ta'alluq with it. So having that sort of adab is necessary to be able to benefit from those places, from those times, as well as those people. If you waste away your time in Ramadan like we waste away our time during the rest of the year, then it's, you know, not only is a waste of life, but you know, you actually become a target of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a person does not get himself forgiven, right, even during the month of Ramadan, you know, even during these blessed nights, and you know, then you know, such a person, woe and destruction for such a person. तो ये बात समझ में लग गई इतनी कि ये इस चीज़ का किसी भी चीज़ का जो है ना अदब उसके साथ ताल्लुक, you know, there's a certain mizaj that has to be developed, and we focused on that last time. It's not something you just, you know, you just do. For example, if there's like a cop in front of you, you know, you'll do adab, but that's a forced adab. What the other sort of other we were talking about is that developing a mizaj, a mannerism, right? Like an etiquette, like an attitude of adab towards everything that we come across that has nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something we have to practice. This is something we have to practice. And people who, you know, who are, you know, who have this huduri of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those people who develop that huduri. If you are always cognizant of that presence of that Allah is with us, Allah is watching us, then obviously a person is going to be in a state or in that mizaj of adab 24 hours a day. Now you can imagine how the ikhlaq changes towards everyone, how the thinking changes, how we behave, behaviors change, everything changes, everything. You can just talk about any aspect of human life and you will find that it will change. Now moving on to this on this journey of becoming a muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another aspect of this is you know, even when a person develops a habit of learning, right, it's not a learning that is in vain. You know, so for example, a lot of time people would go to a college and a university, they will spend 4 years, 6 years, and after, you know, you talk to them after like 10 years, like, oh, you know, it feels like I wasted my time. Meaning, it seems to me that I took all this loan and I spent all of this time and I was, you know, I just wasted, I should have done something else. Right? People will say this. And people will, you know, get or go to a university and college just to get a degree, a diploma, just a piece of paper. A lot of times it doesn't even help you in your, let's say, career. And so people will have this, I wasted that life. So that's not the ilm we're talking about. That's not the learning we're talking about, right? Because that can happen, right? And ilm is not that knowledge. That is, you know, ulama have said that that is information. That is ma'lumat, you know, ma'lumat, or a specific fun that you learn, specific capabilities or abilities that you learn. What we are talking about is, let's say, if a person is engaged in ulum diniya, right? Ulum al-Islami. Right? And even in ulum al-Islami, if a person has that developed mizaj of adab and ikhlaq, and now this ilm, this gathering of ilm, becomes something that is known as ilm nafir. Right? And this is a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is asking for ilm nafir. Now, the literal translation of ilm nafi is beneficial ilm. So how is this ilm beneficial? Right. Usually we'll give that famous definition by Mufti Shafi Saab, Mufti Shafi Usmani Saab, rahmatullah ta'ala alayh, in which he asked some of his students, what is ilm? And you know, different people give different answers. And he said, no, ilm is a nur, it's a light. Al-ilmu nur is a famous saying, that when this light enters into your heart, it causes a tahriq. It makes you mutaharrik. It moves you. It moves you towards action. So according to him, This is what ilmi nafi, a beneficial ilm, is. So all of that sarf and nahav, and which sometimes is difficult for people, especially the nahav part of things. All of that, it just clicks. All of that helps you become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ilmi nafi, it becomes beneficial. That whole journey becomes beneficial. Because all of that is kind of forcing a person to action. And what action are we talking about? It could be any action. It could be extra ibadat. It could mean that a person is more careful in their ma'amalat. It could mean that a person is more careful in their ma'asharat. Because all of that you learn through ilm. Like, what should be my ma'amla with you? How should I do trade and commerce? How should, we have like a business contract. Same thing with a unit of family, right? Which is also comes in mu'amalat as well as mu'ashirat. All of that, you start to change. There may have been a different way of doing things, but ilm nafi' is that when you learn it, it becomes a little different. You change the way that you are approaching all of these things. I would think, and I've heard this from some of my teachers, that you can also think of this from a psychological perspective. Like, ilm in general, is like, okay, I'm going to just cover this book, or I finish this book, and I finish this book, and I finish. It's more than that. Ilm nafi is that ilm that when it enters your sha'ur, your consciousness, it quenches its thirst, right? Because the natural state of consciousness of sha'ur is skeptical, right? It asks questions. So for example, if I tell you, Danish is not here today. So if I say, Danish is on the moon, right away your mind is going to ask questions about it. He's on the moon? How did he get there? Huh? Did he take the rocket? Did he take SpaceX? How was he able to afford it? Did he know somebody? Did he go yesterday? Did he go today? Is he coming back? Is he going to, so all of these questions, right? This is something that the mind does. It's just like su'al after su'al after su'al. Right? So that thirst is always there. Now, a lot of times that, from a worldly perspective, that's very useful, because that's how research questions come into being, right? And like, if you talk to anybody who is doing PhD or who has done PhD, they'll tell you, you have to come up with new questions, research questions that you have to answer. But, I would argue that when it comes to the ulum of diniya, ulum-e-diniya, it is exactly the opposite. Ilm is something that actually quenches that puts your consciousness at ease. That, all of this, like why and how and this, it just settles down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's this concept of ilm al-ladun and sharai sadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that sharai sadr, that your heart is at ease with what is being given to it. It's at ease to it. It's not like, it accepts it. It's like very natural, right? It's like a puzzle, right? Everything is just coming into its place. And, the whole picture, your picture of life becomes very, very clear. The question, the bigger questions of why am I here? And things like that. Everything just sits where it needs to sit. And, one of our mashayikh, Mufti Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he mentioned this. He mentioned that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with nisbah and ta'alluq and with his own sheikh, Haji Imdadullah Mahajir Makki, and he had that suhbah with him, he said that some things changed within me. And one of the things he mentioned, he said that before, if I had any ta'arruz in any aspect of the sharia, I had to like look at books after books after books, right? It's like, what is the answer to it, right? And said, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just puts the answer, sort of like an ilm al-ladun that just comes in the heart, right? It's like an inspired answer Allah ta'ala gives in the heart. And so everything is just like settled. So the sharai sadr is there. And the second aspect of it, which we'll talk about as well, is that, you also do amal al-salih, was that, amal became easy. He said that before I had to really force myself, like sometimes we have to force ourselves, tahajjud and this and this and this. Do I really need to do this? Can't I just do the fara'id? What do I have to do the sunan? Do I have to do the nawafil that comes with it? Can I just do like 10 minutes of dhikr? Why do I have to do 15? Right? So the forcing of ourselves is there. We have to force ourselves. And so amali salih that as a result of that good sahaba on that journey of becoming a muqarrab is that amal that comes natural, that you don't have to force yourself, that you want to do, that you want to do. And this is something that, subhanAllah, you find in most of our Salaf Saleh. I'm saying most because, or you could possibly say all of them, but the more you read about them, the more you come across that every single one of them were people who were salihin. They were salihin. They were people of amal. They were people of sacrifice. They were able to accomplish so much in their life, right? And then you were like, how did they do this? Didn't they get tired? Like all day long they were doing this, and then there are standing in qiyam at night. How did, how, right? This is the reason that for them the ilm was ilm-e-nafi, that was pushing them towards doing amal on it. And they, the amal-e-salih became very natural, like second. So they didn't have to force to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we call tawfiq min Allah. That Allah ta'ala just gives you tawfiq to do amal. This is from Allah ta'ala, right? This is a tawfiq, this is a gift from Allah. It's not like everybody doesn't know that we have to do certain things, but the question becomes, why is it that we are unable to do, and one of the reasons is that the tawfiq isn't there. So tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Amal is just very, very easy to do. I remember in Ramadan, not the last one, but before that, my own father-in-law was here. And we would see him that mashallah he would be sitting inside and mashallah all day long he would be reading the Quran. And he finished multiple Qurans. We're talking like 10, 15 Qurans. Like this is how much he was able. It was very, very easy. And naturally when we looked at our own selves, it's always the, oh, I have a job to do, oh, I have school to do, I have teaching to do, I have family to do, I have always that, that hujjat, that not, that excuse just comes. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And so barely, most of us just finished like one Quran. Some of us who were, who really pushed it, maybe two at the most. Not to belittle it, but I'm just saying that the level of tawfiq, that somebody who's 80, 85 years old, mashallah, it's the same time. Their time is the same, but there's so much more barakah. So much more barakah in it that these actions were coming extremely easy. Those actions that have become like burdensome to us, right? And so this is also something that Suhbat-e-Saliheen definitely helps in. Allah Ta'ala gives and opens up doors of tawfiq, that things that were difficult before now become easy. And now if you look at from that lens, we will understand, even like contemporary times, or just go back one or two generations. I actually remember my own grandparents, and they were not religious people. They were conservative like most of the society. But what we call like religious people, they were not that. But I remember like almost every single day, 3 o'clock in the morning, both of my grandparents, they would just wake up, mashallah, and they would be like reading the Quran. They had like a whole tartib, Surah Taghabun and then Surah Muzammil and other azkar and finishing, Ayat-e Karima, and other ayahs. And so they would just continue. And we would wake up at nighttime and we'd just see like both the grandparents. They're just sitting there, they're doing their thing. Regular people living regular lives. But Allah Ta'ala had just, the tawfiq was there, the amal-e-salih was there. And it would continue all the way to Ishraq and Jasht. And in the middle, you know, our grandmother, she would cook us breakfast too. So she was always doing that, but she would be doing dhikr while she's doing it. So now that we think about it, you know, like now that you reflect on that, you understand that something was really different. Something was really different. Their ta'alluq with the deen, their tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, they would, you know, the shock that they had for anything related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just amazing. Just amazing. Like people would go for Umrah and they would bring back dates and Abi Zamzam and whatnot. And it was just, subhanAllah, it was like the greatest treasure. They would treat it as such. The way that they would just kind of like keep it in like a special place and then just, you know, give us like a few drops of Abi Zamzam and, right? And now we go and mashallah, everybody has like 10 bottles of Abi Zamzam that we bring back and just the shock isn't there. Right? And we bring like 20 kilos of like ajwas and you know, it's just sitting, you know, it's the shock isn't there. Right? So things change. And you know, and one of the reasons is because that, you know, they approached being a muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very differently. And you know, with this ilmi nafi' and with this amal salih, consistent amal that has consistency in it, consistent action, consistently praying tahajjud. Consistently. I remember my own grandmother, like, you know, we would wake up and she would like blow on, you know, she would read all the Quran and tahajjud time, she would just like, you know, blow on you. And, you know, this is, you know, we would wake up from that. And I remember like the first time I probably prayed tahajjud was because of that. That my grandmother was praying and, you know, she blew on us and we woke up like, hey, what is this? What's going on? And I said, yeah, she's praying tahajjud. Okay, so we should go pray tahajjud too. So kisi aur ki tawfiq, somebody else's tawfiq gives you tawfiq too. So alhamdulillah. And with that sort of ilm, with that of sort of amal, is when Allah Ta'ala gives you this innate hikmat. Hikmah, that wisdom which is like a lost, like treasure of a mu'min. Allah Ta'ala gives you a person who is hakim, right? Hakimul Ummah. Hakimul Ummah is a person who is wise. Allah Ta'ala gives this innate hikmat. And hikmat is, you know, how do you approach circumstances? Like every single circumstance, Allah Ta'ala gives you the ability to deal with it correctly. And, you know, the answers are there. You become a source. You become that leader, that source of inspiration and motivation for others. So hikmat, you know, and you find that. You find that amongst all of our akabirin, that it came very, very easy to them. Right? Many, many stories of Imam Adam, Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. And it wasn't that he was, you know, when people say, oh, he was very sharp, he was witty. Right? You can say that, you know, something to do with the DNA. No, I don't think that's the case. I think it really is because his attitude towards the deen, his attitude towards life, his thirst that was quenched by Hamad rahmatullah ta'ala and others, and you know, it left such an impact on him that Allah Ta'ala just gave him that, subhanAllah, that, if you want to call it, that higher level of intellect. That he was, that Allah Ta'ala gave him answers that, you know, why is it that, you know, now we have more or less, you know, four madhahib, right? Methodologies of jurisprudence that there's a consensus, you know, in Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We all know that there were many other methodologies, many other madhahib too. But Allah Ta'ala gave qabuliya to these four, right? So this is the qabuliya, this is being a muqarrab. And if you look at the life of all of them, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, and Imam Malik rahmatullah, and you know, Imam Ahmad as well, Imam Shafi'i, I mean, they faced a lot of difficulties in their life. It didn't come easy. But alhamdulillah, they were very different people. And this is the difference that we're talking about. So people will engage in ilm, they will go to madaris, they will, follow like the Nizami curriculum and 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. But the question becomes, why is it, and it's a person graduates and the first thing is, like, I want everybody to call me a Mawlana. I want everybody to call me a Mufti. I want everybody to treat me. That nobody had, they never had to ask anybody to do it. People recognize them as Imam-e-Azam because of this whole litany of sifat that Allah Ta'ala had given them. So, mashallah, people of sifat. Nobody had to ask, I am, please call me Imam-e-Azam or, right? None of that. Allah Ta'ala gave them that, everybody recognized that they're special people. Everybody recognized them. And take any other names. People recognize them as such. Hujjatul Islam, calling somebody a Hujjah of Islam, right? He didn't say, call me a Hujjat of Islam because I've done this specific course. And people recognized that, and if you look at his history, his quest, and again, like all of that is part of that the adab and that shock, and, we spoke about that, and the suhbah, and all of that, that led it to that moment where people were recognizing him as Hujjat al-Islam. So, aaj bhi inshallah ta'ala, and we'll continue this, is that if we want Qabuliyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are things that, we should be looking for in our lives, right? When we gain ilm, when we are on the path of learning, it shouldn't just be that I have to finish certain books, and I have to memorize certain terminologies, and I have to, take certain exams. No, it has to be much deeper than that. It should be a quest for ilm nafi', an ilm that leads to ilm ladun, and an ilm that puts your consciousness, that completes that puzzle, that quenches that thirst. An ilm that becomes a source of nur that, keeps you mutaharrik. That keeps you, be aram and doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ke Allah ke liye main kuch karu, Allah ke liye kuch karu. Theek hai na, ye cheez hoti hai, Allah ke liye mujhe kuch karna hai. Ye hota hai be aram. Aur phir uske saath amal saath saath shamil ho. Because I mean, one of the things that I have seen is that people who are engaged in ilm or who have become people of ilm, they have become ulama, that becomes a source of excuse for lack of, let's say, their own ma'mulat, their own athkar, their own, things that they have to take care of. They all, I don't have enough time, I don't, it's very ajeeb. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And again, is it the barakah in his life? Or is it also the attitude towards life? Right? That, the excuse would never come. It wouldn't be, oh, I'm too busy for this, or I'm too busy for that. It would really be, wherever I can put an amal, I'm just going to insert that amal there, so I'm able to do that. So inshallah ta'ala, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever effort that we are putting in the deen, Allah ta'ala does not waste them away, and Allah ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, uses them to make us amongst those who are His muqarrab, people who are close to Him, people who are near Him in reality, rather than our own minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, keep us guided. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah ta'ala, for a few minutes, close your eyes, bow your heads in humility and humbleness, and Let go of all the thoughts of the dunya and everyone in this dunya. Step back from these thoughts, from these emotions, from these passions. Look inside your heart. This heart, which is a vessel of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it has become emptied of it. Inshallah, focus on it. Make niyat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anwarat, tajalliyat, fiyuzat are descending upon us, entering our heart, filling our heart with this mahabbah, filling our heart with nur, and getting rid of all the filth and darkness and hardness that has occurred because of our own sins. And feel that your qalb is calling out to your beloved. Feel that your qalb is saying, Allah, 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 and that we're listening to it, inshallah. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان ربي على الوهاب، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربي زدني علما، ربي زدني علما، ربي زدني علما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وقنا عذاب القبر، وقنا عذاب الحشر، وقنا عذاب يوم يقوم الحساب. وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.